Gina and Pat Neely. Memphis Barbecue is our family business. And when we met, honey, it was love at first sight.
So I'm going to go ahead and get started with the try. If you can believe that, I'm doing try. Pat's doing wet.
Kind of confused me a little bit because normally I do dry.
I like to throw you off every now and then, keep you on your toes.
You do, honey.
All right, so I'm going to start with one cup of cornmeal. I'm going to go ahead and give Pat a hand. Pat, can I help you do something sweet or you good?
Baby, if you want to beat my eggs, you can beat my eggs.
Uh-huh. So I'm going to mix it right into my dry.
We're mixing it into the dry. Because when my wet meets Gina's dry, baby, it's time to fry.
Hey kids, what's happening? Welcome back to My Life as a Foodie. My name is Phil, and it's our second anniversary show. I want to thank Father Spoon from Should I Drink That for the intro. I couldn't stomach 10 seconds of the Neelys, and that kind of proves it. That is unlistenable, seriously, but funny. So June 10th, 2007, I released my first episode of My Life as a Foodie. I was timid, shy, not really knowing where I was going to take this thing, and a little too serious about it. Hello, my name is Phil, and welcome to My Life as a Foodie. I've been thinking about starting this show for a while, and I really couldn't think of exactly what angle to take. So I just decided not to take one. I'm obsessed with food, and I think that's all I really needed to get started. So I figured now was as good a time as any. So welcome to the show, and thanks for tuning in. So here I am, 38 episodes later, making dick jokes, ramping on the Food Network. At least we're making progress. And I hope we're making difference with food issues. And I hope that I've encouraged some of you, at least most of you, to think into alternative ways to approach the food on your table and support local farms. And so season three begins. And I wanted to start by doing this thing we call My Last Supper. This is a game I've been playing with friends of mine, all my food friends, for a good 10 years, I think. Been a very long time. This is a game that chefs play, and it's very fun. It's a lot of fun. It's inspired, this game that I decided to do it, inspired by this book called My Last Supper, and it's available on Amazon.com. For those of you who are fans of Anthony Bourdain, I suggest you go to the local bookstore right now, stop the show, go find this book, and flip to page 18. There's a picture in there of Tony that is just disturbing. It's hilarious. And it's hard to look at, yet hard to take your eyes off of. I don't know how to explain it. I can say this, though. I have allowed myself, throughout the years, when I was young, to be photographed in some very compromising poses. And, okay, you know what I'm talking about. Let's just say I can't run for public office. All right? I don't think I need to say any more than that. But nothing compares to this picture. And that's all I'm going to say. Go see for yourself. My Last Supper. But when I did it on the show here, I want it to be interactive. So I would like all of you listening to take the time after the show is done or whenever you can, in the comments section for this episode at mylifeasafoodie.com, let everyone know what your last supper would be. If you knew you were going out, you're going to die. The sky is the limit. What would you have as your last supper? You're dying at midnight. They're going to turn the juice on you at midnight. You can have anything you want. What would be your last meal? And don't give me the, oh, I'm going to die, how can I eat, I'm not hungry, bullshit. What's it going to be? For me, it has always been the same for 5 years, and I just can't change it. I refuse to change it because I know if I ever did, I would know deep down inside I kind of cheated myself. But here's mine. I start with a fresh baguette. Crispy on the outside, soft like a pillow on the inside. All right? Really nice, fresh, crisp baguette. With that, a nice wedge of funky brie from Normandy. Heat it up a little bit so it's nice and runny. And I can slather that all over the bread and eat it. And with that, I want a glass of Pinot Noir from Russian River Valley. Kenwood. I like Kenwood, if you have it. And then after that, a steaming hot bowl of pho with rice noodles, thinly sliced raw brisket, flank steak, tendon, and tripe. And then I'd wash that down with a bottle of either Duvel or Damnation from Russian River Brewing. Either one of those will do. And then after that, you can turn the juice on me. All right? I'll be happy. That is what I would want to have. The last thing I would eat before I died. And I'd be very happy there. And this is kind of funny because it's unrelated. I didn't plan it. But recently, it turns out, Texas put down this guy, Michael Riley, who several years ago was robbing a convenience store. And in the process of robbing the store, he stabs this dude 37 times. 37 times. Just excessive. So, of course, you know, you do something like that, they give you the death penalty. So they asked this guy what he would like to eat for his last meal. And this is what he asked for.
For his last meal, Mr. Riley has requested 2 fried chicken quarters, 2 fried pork chops, 1 bowl of peaches, 1 order of fries, and 1 salad.
Now, we're playing this. I mean, this is a game for us. This guy really murdered somebody. He did something seriously horrible to someone else, and he gets the last meal of his choice. I think that in situations like this, the meal should fit the crime. He murdered a convenience store clerk. I think it would be appropriate to make him eat convenience store food. You know, microwave hot dogs, Slurpee, Slim Jim, something like that. And then, you know, put that juice into his veins. He had the audacity to ask for all that food and a mixed salad. Give me a break. I mean, that's brutal. How can you even think about that on death row? Anyway, I posed the question to my friends at the Beer Safari. If you were on death row and they were going to give you the juice at midnight and they were giving you one last meal, what would you have and what beer would you want to go with it? No holds barred. You're going to get juiced, but you can have anything you want and any beer you want with it. What would it be? So I got a lot of responses, and I'm going to sprinkle them throughout the show. And it's really kind of interesting. Everyone had such diverse things that they would eat. And there are no, the deal is, there are no rules here. It's not a contest who could pick the best food. It's not like that at all. It's an exercise in what people find comforting, what they would want to eat before they died. And to say you're going to be on death row, it may be not even a good way to pose that question. Because, let's put it this way. If someone could come to you and say, listen, by the way, you're going to die in your sleep tonight. You don't know it. Nobody knows it. But I can look into the future, and you're going to die in your sleep. So eat your last meal. That's the kind of thing like, oh, I'm on death row. They're not going to give me booze. No, it's not like that at all. It's your last meal. What would it be? Anyway, first one we're going to hear from is Rick at Pacific Brew News, pacificbrewnews.com.
Phil, man, congrats. 2 years. That's pretty amazing stuff. I love the show. To answer your question, what would I have for my last meal? That's actually pretty simple. I think about this quite often because this is my dream meal. I'm going to start off with a grilled ribeye steak. You know, I want a nice piece of fat that gets in there. It's going to be grilled, hopefully cooked rare. Just salt and pepper seasoning. Get some of that good, wonderful fat in the meat. Oh, that's just good stuff. I'm going to top that off, actually, with some morel mushrooms sautéed in just a little bit of butter. So hopefully I can get killed, in the springtime when the morels are good. On the side, I'm going to have myself some red potatoes. I love red potatoes. Sliced, pan-roasted with just a whole bunch of butter. Some sea salt, some fresh cracked pepper on top. That's a little slice of heaven right there. The green stuff. How about asparagus? Fresh, steamed, plain, nothing on there whatsoever. Maybe a wedge of lemon on the side to kind of get some on there if I want. But really just looking for something plain. If I could have a dessert, I'm a sucker for bread pudding. I want a bread pudding with a nice bourbon sauce, ooey gooey and warm, I hope. And all this is going to be enjoyed with my favorite comfort beer, the beer that says family and friends more than any other, and that's the Deschutes Black Butte Porter from the bottle. We won't be pouring this in any fancy glasses, no pomp and circumstance. Just give me a bottle opener. And I'm good to go. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell. This is it's my dream meal, my death meal. Maybe a meal worth killing for, I really don't know. But that's it. Thanks again, and like I said, happy anniversary, dude.
Thanks, Rick. I love that he says, hopefully he can get killed in the springtime when the morels are in season. Only a true food nut would want to make sure stuff was in season when they died. I mean, I didn't even think it through like that. I just thought that was funny, though. Okay, so it's time for a new segment on the show. It's a new season. I got some new stuff. And I told you this was coming, and here it is.
Eat it before it eats you.
New segment for the show, Eat It Before It Eats You, where I'm going to look for any meat made available to me from any animal that poses a threat to man, potentially eats him, or causes a painful death. The sources for meats like this are kind of limited, but we'll get the few that we can, and then we'll have them on the show, and then we'll just, like, you know, hunt out others. But first up is alligator. And I'd have preferred to wrestle this thing to death with my bare hands and some rope, of course, you know, because that's how I roll. But I feel like a bit of a pussy eating it from, you know, the store-bought stuff. But A, I don't live in the South, where they're grown and raised. And B, I'm crazy, but not that crazy. You know, I'm not on alligators. I'm going to post some pictures of this on the website so you can check it out. The stuff is called Dale's Wild West Alligator, and it's Cajun style. Katrina, my wife, she brought it back for me from Louisiana. She visited New Orleans recently. And listen, before you guys start in with the Katrina and New Orleans shit, you can stop now. I mean, we've been through those jokes, and we're done with that. But let me tell you something. I know it's cliche to say that alligator tastes like chicken. But, dude, this tastes like chicken. I could not tell you that this wasn't chicken. If I ate it blindly, I couldn't tell you I wasn't eating chicken. I don't know why people bother eating alligator, raising them and eating them, when we have so many chickens walking around. We can eat those. What kind of work goes into raising and killing an alligator? And it's dangerous. I mean, something that would love to eat you, to eat your lower torso and play with your dead corpse like a rag doll. Just eat a freaking chicken. It's less work. Tastes great. It turns out the alligator is lower in fat. That's why they eat it. And it's very delicious. Listen, and the gravy that came with the stuff, oh, it was like nuts. It was nuts. It was almost like gumbo. Kind of peppery, very rich, no filet in it. But it had a really nice, lush, rich texture to it. And it was perfect over rice. $8 for 8 ounces of this alligator with Cajun gravy. It contains alligator meat, and then the gravy's made like a roux, and then they make the gravies water, flour, salt, onion, garlic, paprika, bell pepper, celery, and spices. And I had it over rice. Delicious. And pretty much all alligator meat that's sold in the U.S. is produced in commercial alligator farms in the South. Because, you know, that's where alligators live and they thrive there. And it's considered to be really healthy because it's healthier than chicken, like I said, because it's lower in cholesterol and lower in fat. And the most common alligator meat actually comes from the tail. So they just hack the tail off and that's where all the meat comes from. And the texture is like veal, you know, but it tastes like chicken. I know it's passe, but it does. It tastes like chicken. And there's a tenderloin in the alligator meat, right down the center toward the back part of the tail, right down the center in this tubular section. That's where the tenderloin is. So there you have it, alligator.
Eat it before it eats you.
Help me!
And listen, I only thought it would be appropriate to pair this alligator up with a beer called Andy Gator from Abita. And this was sent to me courtesy of my friend Mike at Big Foamy Head, bigfoamyhead.com. This is a Doppelbock. Let me grab it over here. 8% ABV from Abita Brewing in Louisiana. And you can pretty much follow the theme here. We're doing a whole New Orleans thing. When I opened it earlier, and I didn't realize that the ABV on this thing was 8%, I took a nice big swig of it. My God, it filled my mouth with flavor. It was impressive, but I'm thinking, oh, man, I wasn't expecting that. The aroma on this thing is really malty, very, very malty. A little biscuity, you know, that biscuit smell? You can get that. But then the flavor's, you know, a lot different than it smells. It's very rich, very sweet, almost like malt liquor sweet, but not quite like that. Really heavy bread characters to it, too. And some fruit flavors that I really can't put my finger on them, but they're really kind of sweet, fruity flavors. Really smooth drinking beer and very low carbonation, so it's easy to drink. And there's not a real heavy hot presence in there either. And I'm not really a big, huge Doppelbock fan. So it's not something I have a lot of because I don't see it a lot. I mean, there aren't a lot of breweries brewing Doppelbock, and I don't know why. I think if they did, I'd be drinking it more often because I really like this. Yeah. It's released wide now, too. Turns out, Mike sends this to me about a month and a half, 2 months ago. And about 2 weeks ago, I see it in a store. I'm like, look at a Sandy Gator. So I bought a couple more of them. Right here in Southern California. Listen, if I'm getting it in SoCal, you guys can get it anywhere. It's all through the South and the Midwest. 22-ounce Bomber was about $6 at Total Wine & More, where I suggest everybody shop for beer and wine if you have one near you. Total Wine & More, great prices, terrific selection. They make BevMo look like 7-Eleven. Otherwise, if you don't have one, check your local beer store or distributor, or you can go to Abita Brewing's website, abita.com, and get the distributor information there. You'll find it. I really suggest it. I think it's seasonal, so, you know, jump on it. Thanks again to Mike from Big Foamy Head for sending this out to me. I was shocked to see it here, but I'm really happy for it because, again, like I said, there aren't a lot of people brewing Doppelbocks. So when you find them, you know, you got to jump on that stuff. It's really delicious. Like I said, sweet, but not, I mean, like, you know, I don't want to piss anyone off. I said malt liquor. It, you know how malt liquor has that sweetness to it? But it's really heavy because it's like, you know, nasty sweet. It's not like that. It just has that mouthfeel like malt liquor has. It's beautiful. They're great. The guys from Big Foamy Head, they're going to crap all over me because I said it tastes like malt liquor. Anyway, while we're talking about Big Foamy Head, the boys sent their Last Supper segment. And I want to play it for you. Here's Rick, Dick, and Mike with their Last Supper.
This is Dick, Rick, and Mike from Big Foamy Head. And our boy Phil has challenged us to come up with a last meal. What will we have and what beers will we pair with it? And I believe he did this because it's highly likely that one of us will find ourselves in this situation. It could be a domestic dispute. It could be just one too many beers and we just get a little postal. But I'm pretty sure that one of the three of us is going to find ourselves in this precarious situation. It's 10 till midnight. It's your last meal. What are you having and what beer are you going to have with it? Rick?
Phil, happy anniversary for one thing. And I'll just tell you, I know you're into the molecular cooking and you like that highfalutin stuff. I'm going to go lowball on you and have my fuzzy foods. I got Jack in the Box tacos, In-N-Out Double Double Burger, Der Wiener Schnitzel Chili Cheese Dogs, and I'm going to top that off with a Dogfish Head 90-Minute IPA, maybe an Avery Hog Heaven, and a Schorch Humalumalicious, which is a very hoppy IPA. That's my last meal.
Sweet. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. After I go postal on Cardinal Code, and they throw me in jail and throw away the key and then threaten to execute me, I am going to start out with a Rendezvous cheese and sausage plate. Mm-hmm. And the beer I'm going to pair with that is going to be a Maredsu 10. Mm-hmm. I think that would just really round it out. The main course is going to be shrimp and cheese grits with the Abita Abbey Ale.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be fantastic. And then for dessert, I'm going to do pears with raspberry sauce and do the Unibrew Trois Pistoles.
Oh, man, good, nice, good. You're going out in style here.
You know, okay. I had that dessert at Fino Villa here, and when we did the beer dinner with Steve, that's the dessert I had, and they paired that Trois Pistoles with that, and that was awesome.
Okay, here's my last one, and I'm just going low tech all the way. I want me a Whopper with cheese, because I love a good Whopper.
Charbroiled.
And I'm pairing that with my buddy Greg Cook's Stone IPA, because I feel it really represents a good IPA. So that's my appetizer. And then I'm going to have to bring in, because my family and I, we do every year the annual chili cheese fries, and the best chili cheese fries in the entire world, as far as I'm concerned, is the Young Avenue Deli. Mm-hmm. Big ass tray of chili cheese fries. That will stay the execution almost a full day while I eat my way through that.
Yeah. And go to the bathroom a couple of times.
At least a couple of times. And, what I'm going to have with that, I'm going to do a selection, because I'm eating some hot. I want to get my hops to go with my hot. I want to pair it with, first, an arrogant bastard, and second, a ruination. Now, I've kind of gotten onto a stone kick.
How about
obviously
a double bastard?
I might slip one in, a little double bastard, too. And I want to do the whole bastard series right after the ruination. Now that my hops and my palate's totally trashed, it's time to go old school. And this is why I know that they'll have to work for it, because they have to get what I asked for. I want the old-time steak and egg black bottom pie.
Ooh, yeah.
For dessert.
Good.
They're going to have to look hard for that. And you know what I want to have to go with that? I want a beer shipped to me from the Bull and Bush, the legend of the liquid brain.
Oh, man. What a beer.
Nice call.
Pairs well with black bottom pie. After that, you can kill me. So happy anniversary, Phil, and my life as a foodie.
Amen. I was going to say the same thing. Happy anniversary, Phil. Love your show. Hope you have many more, and look forward to listening to many more.
Hey, what a morbid topic, but that's our Phil.
Awesome. Man, that's a meal. Hey, listen, if you don't listen or you haven't listened to Big Foamy Head and you're into beer, blues, barbecue, bigfoamyhead.com. Great stuff. Really good barbecue. They're always going to festivals and stuff. And Memphis is really the place for barbecue anyway. So check them out, bigfoamyhead.com. Hey, listen, My Life's Foodie just turned two, right? The brewery here in Orange County, one of our favorite breweries, just had their one-year anniversary. So I wanted to publicly share my congratulations with Patrick and Rachel Rue on their big first year. And they made a big splash. I mean, a first year in business. Can you imagine how big they're going to be when they're two? I mean, Orange County didn't have a brewery, really. And now all of a sudden we've got a damn good one. I mean, they made a huge splash, man. They went to the GABF. They're going to go again. God knows, man. If they win something, forget about it. But they brew some incredible Belgian beer, some really classic German beer, everything done with their own touch. Very classy. Thebrewery.com, B-R-U-E-R-Y, thebrewery.com. Their distribution now is really expanding too, so if it does become available to you, dig in there, get some of that. I mean, you're not going to be disappointed with this beer. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. I got another Last Supper here from Doug Durda, otherwise known as Father Spoon. And listen, I don't know what the hell he was thinking with this. I guess he knows he's going to die, so why not go out with a bang? But this is kind of disturbing, what he chooses to eat. And I don't even know if he'd really eat this. Well, maybe he's been watching too much Paula Deen, you know, because she cooks this way. I don't know, his wife follows her show, too, but listen to this.
Hey, Phil, it's me, Doug, coming to you from DouglasDurda.com, HealthyHappiness.com, and for those of you who think I sound familiar, I'm Father Spoon from ShouldIDrinkThat.com, where even if it's crap, we drink it so you don't have to. So I got your email, and I'm thinking about what I could eat as my last meal. And this is a tough choice, because I would want to do some snobbish beer pairing with the foods, and you know what? They're probably not going to give me alcohol. I know that wasn't a stipulation, but I'm going to throw that out there anyways. They're probably not going to let me booze it up, because, wow, imagine the trip that would be. So I'm thinking about it, and what better way to go out than you get a bunch of dough. Really good dough. Not the dough that you're going to make yourself. Actually, you know what? We'll bring in like Mario Batali. Make him cook it. So I want a big piece of dough. And in that dough, I want you to wrap up some butter. But not just any butter. I want the butter to be wrapped in bacon. Then wrap that in the dough. Now once you have that wrapped up, I want you to wrap some more bacon around it. Once you have that, deep fry it in bacon grease. Yeah, this is starting to sound good. So once you get done with that, I want you to put it on a big old platter for me and cover it in chocolate syrup. That Hershey stuff that you can get out of the can. I kind of dig that. And then as you're serving that to me, I want a big pitcher of pure milk. Not the 2% shit. I want like whole milk. You know why? Because I'm lactose intolerant. And baby, if I'm going out, I'm going to make a mess. Thanks for the opportunity, Phil. Eat the good stuff, drink the good stuff, and hey, for all you guys out there, check out ShouldIDrinkThat.com, DouglasDurda.com, and HumpDayHappiness.com. I am full of shameless plugs. That's why you should also listen to BeerSafari.com. It's a jungle of beer out there. Thanks, Phil, and hey, thanks for making these shows. I appreciate it. You actually sound like you know what you're doing, unlike when it comes to beer.
Hey, speaking of Paula Deen, too, I read that she's doing a cruise now. There's a Paula Deen cruise. I couldn't believe it. I mean, you can actually go on a cruise. be entertained by her and eat her food. Now, listen, I want you to think about this for a second. You know the kinds of people who go on cruises, right? I mean, think about it. You got that in your mind? Think about the kind of people that go on a cruise. Now, think of Paula Deen. And that makes sense, right? It makes total sense to me. I'd go just to throw her in the ocean. Seriously. Hey, I'm on Twitter now. So you can follow me if you like. Twitter.com/mylifeasafoodie. Follow me. I'll follow you back. All the cool kids are doing it. So, you know, we got to do it too. I'll try to keep most of my posts about food or food issues. But, you know, every now and then I'll do like a quick movie review. Like anyone cares what I think. I've been catching up on these old 007 movies. Like going back from like the current movies now, back to the beginning gradually. And I realize that James Bond has a signature champagne that he likes to drink. It's Bollinger Grand Marnier. And it's like over $100 a bottle. And they don't make the Grand Marnier all the time. They only make it when they have a particularly good year for their grape. And they'll make this special Grand Marnier. It's like their cuvee or something. And I never realized he always drank the same thing every time. Every time the champagne was Bollinger. So I tweeted about that once. And we saw Up the weekend it was released. Of course, I tweeted about Pixar. And I think they're the best studio making movies that are working today, really. Really that good. And if you haven't seen that movie, go see it. But usually I tweet about food issues or things that I happen to see online that I find interesting. So if you want to interact with me, twitter.com/mylifeasafoodie.
Hey, Phil. This is Groucho. Longtime fan, first time caller. You know what I'm saying? Love the show, man. My Life as a Foodie, got to be one of the best podcasts on the Beer Safari, if not on iTunes or any other podcast network out there. You've done a lot with your show over the last 2 years. You've raised the bar for everybody else. All the accolades you get aren't really enough. I could see how you could really crank this sucker up. But you know what? It's your baby, and I think you do a great job with it. I'm not telling you to do... What the fuck is that trying to say? You know, let me give you some professional podcast advice, Phil. You know, the one thing you had mentioned here, I think on your blog here a couple days ago, is you're going to start focusing more on beer again with the food, and I think that's a tremendous idea. I think what you lend back to the beer, for maybe people who are more foodies, can only be an advantage for the craft beer scene. So keep up the good work. Look forward to another 2 years, 6 years, 10 years down the road when you got your own show on the Food Network or whatever. And don't forget the little people who got you there. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Congratulations on your 2 years. See ya.
Thank you, Groucho. The Beer Safari actually practically born through the Beer Report, the Confrontation Board. So, Groucho and Chud at thebeerreport.com. I think they're going on 3 years, too, or close to it. Gotta be. Oh, hey, this was awesome. This is great. This British court ruled that Pringles have enough potato in them to actually qualify as crisps in the UK. Crisps are potato chips. Crisps are potato chips. In the UK, it's potato chip is a crisp. A French fry is a chip. See, I get that straight because we screwed that one up. We're backwards. So anyway, so because they qualify as crisps, they're subject to a value-added tax of 15%. Now, here's where it gets funny. Procter & Gamble tries to fight them because they make Pringles, right? And they go, hey, we're not crisps. You know, the shape and the packaging are not found in nature. They said that. Isn't that awesome? They basically said, look, even though we're calling it a potato chip, it's synthetic. And it only resembles a potato chip. So then the court comes back and says, listen, it's 42% potato, so we're going to tax it. End of story. So that's it. You're going to get taxed. So now we find out it's 42% potato. And so somebody, I can't remember who did it, someone goes, wait a minute. If it's only 42% potato, what the hell's in the other 58%? So they looked it up. Vegetable oil, rice flour, wheat starch, maltodextrin, salt, and dextrose. Oh, and wheat ingredients. Yeah, that's great. Hey, let me have some of them chips. So the next time you go shop for potato chips, leave Pringles out of the mix. 42% potato. That is not a potato chip. You just grab a potato, you know, thinly slice the damn thing, and throw it in some oil. Make your own. You're better off. Eat a potato, you know. Oh, man, that was gross. Hey, goodbye, Pringles. Hey, Brain Gravy sent their Last Supper segment. Gambler, Bubby, Z, Live from Pluto, Harmless, and Nag, not a girly girl. They have really wide tastes. Wait till you hear this. And there's some music in here, too, Bubby wanted me to mention. Deliberate Thought by Kevin McLeod. Anyway, listen to this audio buffet from Brain Gravy.
All right, let's rock this out. Oh, my pants are ringing. Hey,
I'm game. Bye bye. Let Campbell go first then.
Yeah, just let him.
All right, let's rock this. I've never done this before, so tell me what I need to do.
We're doing the Last Supper thing, so for your Last Supper.
All right, for my Last Supper, I'll take the fatty tuna belly nigiri, please, with a Hendrix tonic, garnished perfectly with a side of cucumber. For the main course, I'll be taking a Kobe ribeye, medium rare, thank you, with a side of truffle palm frites and a glass of amazing Cabernet Sauvignon. And the last and final course of my dear, dear life would be some sticky toffee pudding with a bomber of Dark Lord, which I'll be sipping slowly out of a snifter.
Before they apply the juice?
That's right. I want to get to my own juice before they give it to me.
Awesome, man.
Sounds delicious.
Yes. For my Last Supper, I will do a porterhouse, a steak done on the grill with a nice thick tenderloin section with a prosciutto-wrapped asparagus and a baked potato with sour cream, chives, bacon bits with a stone-smoked porter. No dessert. That is my Last Supper. You with the keyboard.
I'm sorry.
You want me to do mine then?
Yeah, go for it.
For my Last Supper, a very simple one, I thought about this long and hard. My whole life, I am a tuna freak. So for my Last Supper, I would like tuna fish salad. It has to be bumblebee or chicken of the sea. It has to be chunk white in water, mixed with a slather of mayonnaise. Put on a nice, fresh roll, and on top of the roll will be lettuce, tomato, onions, banana peppers, and coleslaw. On the side of that, nice, fresh potato salad, little macaroni salad, some potato chips. With that, I would be drinking my all-time favorite beer, since I am not worried about food matching and beer matching, since this is my Last Supper. It would be the Stone Russian Imperial Stout bomber bottle, as many as I can drink in the time I have. Follow that up with a bowl of pistachio ice cream and finish it off with a black chocolate stout by Brooklyn Brewery. And that is my Last Supper.
You're up, Z.
All right, let's see here.
He's prepared.
Yeah. I rehearsed mine.
Okay. My last meal is going to be more of a buffet kind of thing. You know, the things on this buffet is what I'm going to rattle off. And those things are a McRib. Gotta have a McRib. Just have to have one. Hot wings. Nice seafood platter with mussels and shrimp. Have to get the French dip and onion rings from Applebee's. It's just to die for. Braten kraut and a meatball sub from Subway. And the beverages that I will have with this are black chocolate stout, of course. Gin and tonic. Nice glass of chardonnay. Let's see here, Crown of Cokes. Got to have some Crown of Cokes. Founders Imperial Stout and a White Russian made with liquid ice cream. That would be my huge buffet lights out last meal.
Nice.
Damn.
On my meal, I would also add a gram of heroin.
Jesus. Just sprinkle it on the top?
No, snort it.
Yes. Yeah, Grandma Coke snorted off a dead hooker's ass.
Speaking of White Russian, cheers.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers from Brain Gravy.
Cheers from Brain Gravy.
From Swigs. I'm back at Swigs.
Yeah, we're back in Swigs.
And I'm alone.
Nice, dudes. Braingravy.libsyn.com. You know, Brain Gravy releases a show like every 2 years, so check them out. You can catch up in no time. Hey, listen, Food Inc., this documentary, Food Inc., opens this Friday, June 12th, in New York City, in Los Angeles, and will expand later. Actually, it's not even determined yet. I went and looked it up. And basically what they're doing is they're not going to expand this movie until they see how well it does in New York and Los Angeles. So it's important, and I urge anybody who's within a reasonable distance of a theater playing this movie to go see it so we can get a wider distribution, get it out all over the place. Because this is more than just a good movie. It's a very, very important movie to people like us and people who care about food issues. And we've been talking about this movie for a long time here, and it's finally getting some screen time. Joe's friend Dean works in movie marketing and actually designed the poster for the movie, as he mentioned it to me the night we were eating at the bazaar. And he said it was an eye-opening experience. Then his company creates the trailer for the movie, which was, you know, just awesome. So I emailed him, right? I asked, would it be okay to play the trailer on the show or maybe show the poster? But then I realized later, you know what? It's movie marketing. So yeah, I think it's going to be okay. I go to the website for Food Incorporated, and the trailer on the site has an embed code for you to embed it on your website. So I don't think they have a problem with me sharing it here. You know, we're trying to get the word out on this movie. So Magnolia Pictures, barring a cease and desist order, here's some free marketing for Food Inc. Here's at least the audio for the trailer.
The way we eat has changed more in the last 50 years than in the previous 10,000. The modern supermarket has on average 47,000 products.
The industry doesn't want you to know the truth about what you're eating, because if you knew, you might not want to eat it.
We've never had food companies this powerful in our history.
Everything we've done in modern agriculture is to grow it faster, fatter, bigger, cheaper.
If you could grow a chicken in 49 days, why would you want one you got to grow in 3 months?
When you go through the supermarket, there is an illusion of diversity. So much of our industrial food turns out to be rearrangements of corn.
Sometimes you look at a vegetable and say, okay, well, we can get 2 hamburgers for the same price.
They have managed to make it against the law to criticize their products.
There is an effort to make it illegal to publish a photo of any industrial food operation.
I find it incredible that the FDA wants to allow the sale of meat from cloned animals without any labeling.
Peanut butter contaminated with salmonella.
E. coli has been found in spinach, apple juice.
Smells like money to me.
The average consumer does not feel very powerful. It's the exact opposite. When we run an item past the supermarket scanner, we're voting for local or not, organic or not.
Look at the tobacco industry. The battle against tobacco is a perfect model of how an industry's irresponsible behavior can be changed.
Imagine what it would be if, as a national policy, the idea would be to have such nutritionally dense food that people actually felt better, had more energy, and weren't sick as much. You know, now see, that's a noble goal.
People have got to start demanding good, wholesome food of us, and we'll deliver, I promise you.
Directed and produced by Robert Kenner, co-produced by Eric Schlosser, who wrote Fast Food Nation. Michael Pollan has a footprint all over this thing. He's in it. He probably helped fund it. FoodIncMovie.com. Go see it. Tell your friends. Tell your friends to tell their friends. Tell everybody. We've been talking about this movie since it got picked up by Magnolia last year. And it's finally hitting theaters. Finally got some money. And it's going to be shown in theaters. So if you care about food and food issues, go see this thing. Okay, so the Last Supper we have is from Don, formerly of Dude Night. And he has pretty much the same thing that Bourdain wrote for his last meal.
I think that it would be fresh bread, proper butter, French rock salt, and roasted bone marrow. That would be it. And then to accompany that would be a nice, big, bold Bordeaux.
Bordeaux.
Yeah.
Any particular Bordeaux that you like?
I prefer the predominant Cab. Yeah. So Cab Franc, Merlot, but mostly Cab.
So sticking with my theme of New Orleans here, I came across this report from CNN on how restaurants in New Orleans are really struggling. People go to New Orleans to do 3 things. They go to eat, drink, and get naked in public for beads without fear of getting arrested. That's pretty much what happens in New Orleans. And before Katrina, there were about 800 restaurants in New Orleans. Now it's about 1,000. And they're really having a tough time. So sooner or later, some of these restaurants are going to go down.
If there's one thing New Orleans can do, it's amazing cuisine.
Do I need to order more crab meat?
Yeah, we need a lot of more crab meat.
Stephen Schwartz is the owner of Mattinatti's in New Orleans Uptown. Tourists and locals have a wealth of restaurants to choose from, and the economic downturn is making competition that much more fierce.
It's a matter of how much stamina we can have and how long we can last before things turn around.
Consider this. Before Katrina, there were about 800 restaurants in New Orleans. Now it's close to 1,000.
I think eventually there are going to be places that are going to go out of business. They're going to have to.
Schwartz has no plans on becoming a statistic. Now in his early 50s, Schwartz came to New Orleans on a visit about 30 years ago and never left. To keep the restaurant going, his catering business is branching out and now counts for about 40% of Schwartz's income.
Would you like some pulled pork?
He employs about 28 people, part and full time. Without catering, Schwartz would have gone under. And without glowing reviews, his business would wither on the vine.
Word of mouth is very important, because if you get one bad review, there's tons of restaurants that will, people are just waiting to try.
Meeting payroll and paying suppliers is a monthly challenge. Schwartz benefited from a $10,000 grant and a $40,000 low-interest loan he received from the state. It's part of Louisiana's effort to help small businesses recover from Katrina's devastating effects. But in this case, it's money getting him through the lean months of this recession.
How much capital do you have, or how much capital can you generate to maintain a slow loss over a long period of time and still be able to meet your obligations?
New Orleans will always have great atmosphere and great food. He says it may take creative financing, but Schwartz plans on being part of the city's culinary landscape for years to come.
Thanks to CNN.com for the audio. I really thought it was going to be the other way around. When I heard that story, I thought we'd see half of these restaurants reopening. And then even those would have a hard time staying, you know, above water. Did I just say that? Stupid. They'd have a hard time staying open. Because, you know, tourism is very vital in New Orleans. I mean, these places, they thrive on it. And I'm sure the tourism is obviously better now, but not what it was. I mean, we're coming on 4 years since Katrina, and that place is still a big freaking mess. A lot of people left, did not come back. So it's hurting. And I thought a lot of these places just weren't going to reopen. And I'm sure it's going to climb back. I mean, it's never going to be what it once was, but it'll still become something different and still be New Orleans. But there's that allure of New Orleans. I mean, where else can you see drunken women take their tops off for cheap strands of beads? And besides at one of my family's get-togethers, you know? Anyway, that's my life as a foodie. I want to thank all my Beer Safari brethren who took the time to send their Last Supper audio clips in. Listen to all these podcasts at beersafari.com. It's a jungle of beer. And please do me a favor. Leave your Last Supper in the comments section for this episode at mylifeasafoodie.com. I want to hear them. Everyone wants to read this stuff. All of them. No holds barred. Whatever you want to write, write it. Music in this episode from Marilyn Manson. If you like it, click the link to download it from the iTunes store in our show notes. 99 cents. Thanks again, everybody. Here's to season 3 of My Life as a Foodie. Got my Doppelbach right here. My name is Phil. I'll see you guys next time.
Sing along, babble, babble, bitch, bitch, rebel, rebel, party, party, sex, 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 and don't forget the violence, blah, 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 got your lovey-dovey, sad and lonely, stick your stupid slogan in. Everybody sing, are you motherfuckers ready for the new shit? Stand up and admit, come on, never coming, this is a new shit. Stand up and admit, do we get it? No, do we want it? Sing along. Everything has been said before.